For our second scripture reading this morning, we want to read from Deuteronomy 15, verses 4 to 10. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he has given you as a special possession. You will receive this blessing if you carefully obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but you will never need to borrow. You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. But if there are any poor people in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving to you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Instead, be generous and lend to them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year of release is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give freely without begrudging it, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. I want to give you greetings from Doma, Zimbabwe. All the saints there send their greetings. They hate it when we're gone, and we miss them when we're gone. We run an orphanage in Zimbabwe. We have about 160 children that we take care of. All of them have been orphaned because of AIDS. Most of them are healthy. We only have a handful that actually have HIV. Some of those children need full-time residential care. They don't have any surviving family, and so they'll need a place to grow up, basically, and we provide that. We also have children who are still with a grandparent or an aunt and uncle, but it's a non-functional family unit, and they need help. And so that's called community-based care, and so we have about half of our orphans are in that program. We also run a medical clinic that treats 18,000 at no charge. We use the clinic as a screening tool to find children at risk in our community who are in deep trouble and need help. And so that's one of the key things that we do. We also have our own school. As everything else collapsed in Zimbabwe, education collapsed. And so in 2005, we started our school. We use accelerated Christian education homeschool curriculum, which we have found is incredibly good for our orphans because our kids come to us 2 to 5 years behind in school, and ACE gives them that cushion to catch up. They start where they can achieve, and then they work their way forward. And we're seeing great results with that program. We've got 180 students in our school. We also run a farm. Zimbabwe is in its 8th year of famine, and we know that we have to produce the food that we need, and we feed 800 people every day. So we know that we've got to go through 1,100 pounds of cornmeal every day of the year, and on and on and on. It's a frightening amount of food. It's scary when I realize we actually use 294,000 eggs in a year. But food security is an issue in Zimbabwe, and so that's just kind of the broad brush of what we're doing there. Susan and I have been there for 12 years now, and our son, Ian, has grown up in Zimbabwe. He was 10 years old when we got there and finished high school there and then went back to the States and found the ideal helpmate. Heidi is a tremendous gift from God. She's everything we ever prayed for him. And they will be joining us in Zimbabwe in 2011. So we're very, very excited that our grandchildren are going to be right there with us. But we want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning that I think is very critical when we stop to think about who should we be taking care of and who needs help and what kind of help do they need. I want to look at Matthew 25, starting with the 31st verse. And this is the final judgment, and just kind of get a picture in your mind of what this scene really is. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will tell them, "I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." And I get excited when I look at a scripture like this, and let's take it apart just very briefly so that we understand the dynamics here, and then we'll bring it around to what's happening in Zimbabwe. Now, I never understood this passage of scripture until we had a mini farm in Indiana shortly before we left for Zimbabwe, and we had sheep and goats. Have any of you ever raised both animals? Okay, well, let me tell you, goats do what goats want to do. You can beat them in the head, they'll go right back and do exactly what they want to do. How many of you know people like that? And please don't point to your spouse, because you're probably already in enough trouble already. But goats do what goats want to do. And how many times have you heard somebody say, nobody's going to tell me what to do? Those are the goats. And we don't want to be in the goats, because they're receiving eternal punishment. Sheep, on the other hand, are very compliant, grateful little animals. But they are remarkably stupid sometimes. And when the scriptures compare us to sheep, it's not exactly a compliment. But we are to be compliant and grateful for the things that God has done. But sheep do a couple really quirky things. They'll put their head down and start eating, and they'll eat for hours. And then they put their head up, and they don't know where they are. They're lost, absolutely lost. And we know people that do that, don't we? Another thing they do, if the dogs are chasing them and trying to bite them and kill them, they'll hide their face in a corner and let the dogs shred them. And sometimes we let the evil one do that very thing, don't we? So one of the decisions we have to make today, do we want to be sheep or do we want to be goats? And we want to be sheep, okay? We definitely want to be sheep. We want to be compliant and grateful for the things that God has given us. But then we look at this list of things. When Jesus says, when you help somebody, you're helping me, look how simple these things are. A cup of cold water. Do you have any idea how desperate the third world is for clean, drinkable water? There's not a city in Zimbabwe that has drinkable water. Even the capital city, Harare, probably has the worst water in the country. We had friends that had that water tested, and it turns out it has so many heavy metals in it, it's not even safe to bathe in it, let alone drink it. And we're fortunate, we're 60 miles out in the bush, we're in the middle of nowhere, we've got wells, and we've got clean water in an area that has no pollution to speak of. And so our well water is very clean, but water is something that shows the love of Jesus to somebody who needs that water. And feeding people, we have famine all around us. More than half the country this year in Zimbabwe will have to have food assistance from the United Nations, or they will not survive. But at Eden, we have everything we need. Father, always make sure that our kids have exactly what they need. They have everything they need. And you can go a mile in any direction and see famine on an epic scale. But we have everything that we need. If you read through the Old Testament and just do a word search on fatherless, the father has a special place in his heart for AIDS orphans, because they are some of the most vulnerable children on earth. They don't have anybody. We're in a country with 95% unemployment. Picture being a 10-year-old head of a household with three younger brothers and sisters, and you're supposed to provide for them and provide for yourself. Education's completely out of the question, because only those who can afford it go to school in Zimbabwe. But even something as simple as eating. What are you going to eat? How are you going to survive? And we have little guys, little bitty guys, who have to make those decisions every single day. And it's difficult. It's extremely difficult. Now, I hope you're capturing an idea that helping an AIDS orphan is probably one of the simplest things in the world you can do. But it's absolutely life-saving for these kids. Absolutely life-saving. And sometimes we're really faced with a dilemma. Are we going to help somebody and save their lives? Or are we going to pretend we didn't know about it and just go on from there? And I want to challenge you this morning that your Father in heaven has great rewards for each one of you. And one of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 2:10, which says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Now, in some translations, it says He planned those good things that we were going to do for the kingdom before the foundations of the earth. Now, picture God having you in mind before the creation, knowing that you would need to be born at a certain era in history to a certain family, because you had certain things that you would do for the kingdom that no one else could do. Now, that's a tantalizing idea to me. I get excited when I think about that. It's amazing to me. And I'm very pumped when I think about that. But God has planned for a long time. Now, I don't want you to ever forget this scripture, so I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're well enough and you can stand up, turn around and look at the spot you've been sitting in. Just go ahead, stand up, turn around and look at the spot you've been sitting in. Is that the only impression you want to leave in this world? Of course not. I know in my heart of hearts that is not the legacy that you want to leave behind. And now you know why we only get invited once to any church. But in all seriousness, we need to think about legacy. The way the Lord broke us and got us into that mode, we lost four family members in 10 months' time. And we started realizing when we were 40 that, you know, life really is fragile and there are not a lot of opportunities to give life to another human being. And we asked the Lord, you know, what do you want us to do? Well, then we had a trip to Zimbabwe that answered that question. And nothing has ever been the same for us since. And while we have just a couple of minutes here, I want to share stories of a couple of the kids just so that you start having some idea what these kids have been through. And we'll show a DVD in the fellowship hall later that you can actually see the kids and hear their testimonies, what their dreams are, and their thanks to their sponsors. And it'll put a face on all of it. But there's one little girl, the very first child we took in Zimbabwe was Alexandra. And Alexandra was 10 years old, full-blown AIDS, very, very ill little girl, very, very sick little girl. But she also was extremely angry. And we found out that her mother was a prostitute, and her mother started selling her as a prostitute as a 3-year-old. And she had been raped at least twice a day from the time she was 3 until we got her at 10 years of age. And she was smart enough to realize that her childhood was not normal, and she was just livid that she knew she was not going to survive to grow up. And we had one very, very angry little girl on our hands. And it was heartbreaking because at that point we did not have access to antiretroviral drugs, and we knew as she got sicker that we were going to watch this child die. And it was heart-wrenching. But we really were concerned for her psychologically and spiritually because she was so angry and agitated all the time. And so we started praying, Father, please just give this child some grace and some peace in the dying process, because she just has no peace at all about what's happening. And the answer to that prayer was probably 100,000 times what we were asking for. And I get so excited telling this story. And Alexandra used to kind of grab me by the shirt and she'd shake me and said, you have to tell people my story because I don't want other little girls to be hurt the way I was hurt. But Alexandra was typical of a lot of AIDS patients. Not only did she have a lot of internal illnesses, she had a lot of skin problems. And she had a sore on her left arm that just would not heal. And so Dr. Gwazai said, I want to cut a 1-inch cube out of this child's arm, and we'll pack that with iodine and cotton. We'll get all that cleaned up. And so she had the surgery one morning, and she and her house mother, Hashpiri, were waiting outside Makunda Christian Hospital, waiting for Susan to pick them up. And we were going to take Alex back and just let her rest for the rest of the day. And Alexandra got all excited and said, Auntie Haji, can you see? And she was radiant. And Haji said, I don't see anything, Alex. What do you see? She said, I see Jesus in the clouds. He's smiling. He says, it's okay for me to come home now. And from that moment on, that child had the peace that passes all understanding. She was not angry. She was not agitated. And she died with more grace than anybody I've ever seen. And it was just miraculous the way the Father intervened with that child. It was just such an amazing answer to prayer. And we'll never be the same for having known her. But she is very typical of little girls who get raped and end up with HIV because of sexual abuse. Another little girl I want to tell you about is Proud. And Proud was brought to our medical clinic as a 3-year-old. She weighed only 17 pounds. Her uncle brought her in and said, if you don't take this child today, her grandfather's going to kill her. And so our nurse started examining her, and sure enough, she had third-degree burns on her bottom and the bottoms of her feet. Her grandfather literally set her in a fire to punish her. Here she is, 3 years old. And then our nurse burst into tears because she realized this child had both arms had been broken, one of her legs had been broken, her collarbone had been broken, and none of these bones had ever been set. And we looked at this tiny, frail little girl and said, Father, how in the world could a child this small survive that kind of abuse? But I'm happy to report that Proud is one of the happiest kids we've got. She did recover. She is able to walk. We weren't sure at first that she'd be able to walk. But she's been with us about 5 years now, and she's great. I mean, she's having a very normal childhood, enjoying her life, and she's come so far. But if we didn't have that medical clinic, that child would be in her grave today, and she would never have known that she has a Father in heaven who loves her beyond measure and a Savior that found a way to bring her home to her Father forever. And so we get excited about the changes in some of the lives that just little things can make such a big difference. And I want to challenge you this morning to think about what is your legacy? What are you going to leave behind in terms of the kingdom? And sometimes it's very, very simple things that bring it all together. And we just thank you for allowing us to come and to visit. And we hope that you'll join us later on with the service. Let's stand and have a closing prayer. And then we'll go ahead with the Lord's Prayer as we go. Father God, it's amazing how you give us so many opportunities in life to serve others and to do things for the kingdom that allow us to show our gratitude to you. We know we're not earning salvation, but we want to show gratitude for all that you've done for us. And we praise you and thank you for the work you've given us in Zimbabwe and the many children you bring to our door who need your help. And we just thank you for this congregation. We pray that you bless them, that you help them capture a vision of all the things they might do for the kingdom. And we're just in awe that you love us, that you nurture us, and you will bring us home someday to be with you forever. We ask all of this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, our Christ and our Messiah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power of God.